I'd like to read a verse in chapter 1. Bring you a thought the Lord's laid on my heart for this hour. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Adrian Rogers said, "With grace there's nothing to earn, but there's much to learn." That sums it up, doesn't it? Nothing to earn, but much to learn. Stand, please. When you found your place, I'd like to read one verse from this portion of God's Word as we speak on the subject, keeping the fire burning. From Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 7. "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." I reread it. "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Let's have a word. You may be seated. Thank you very much for standing. We'd like to think on the subject of keeping the fire burning. Keeping the fire burning from this text. It is God's will and God's desire that His people be a flame of fire. It says here, His ministers a flame of fire. He's not just talking about angels, and He's not just talking about ministers. He's talking about all who minister, all who serve, and that should be every Christian. It's God's desire and will that every Christian be a flame of fire. God puts a fire in you when He saves you. Yes, if you are this morning what you've always been, you never got saved. Because God changes you. And He puts a fire in you. And He puts a zeal in you. He puts a new nature in you with new desires. He puts some enthusiasm and some purpose in your soul. But the truth is, the tendency of fire is to go out. Physically, that's true. Spiritually, that's true. Just because you build a fire does not mean you walk away from that fire and it just keeps on burning indefinitely. Oh no, it will go out. If neglected, it will most surely at some point go out. So I want to share with you some ways in which we can keep our spiritual fire burning brightly in our hearts, in our lives as well. Thank God, every Christian, I did say every Christian can stay on fire for God. If you have already given up on yourself, I want you to know something. God has not given up on you. Maybe even others have given up on you, but God has not given up on you. And it's His purpose and desire and will that you be a flame of fire. Three simple things. As I speak this morning, I think you'll be reminded, many of you, especially who have built a fire, you'll see the parallels, and it's not complicated. Aren't you glad the Christian life is not complicated? If it is, we've made it that way. God didn't make it that way. God made it so simple that you can get saved when you're 7 years old and start living for God right away. I'm glad it's simple. Number one, to keep the fire burning brightly, keep the drafts open. Keep the drafts open. A fire requires a certain amount of air or it's just going to die. No air, no oxygen, no fire. And we need to keep some drafts open. We need to keep the prayer windows open. We need to keep the lines of communication between us and the Lord open. Somebody says, well, how often should we do that and how much should we pray? Well, I'm glad the Bible gives us a few examples. David said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." David prayed at least three times a day. And so that's far more than most people ever pray in a day's time, unless they get in trouble, you know, and need God like a spare tire. But anyway, three times a day. How often did Daniel pray? It says he knelt down and opened his windows toward Jerusalem three times a day. So there's two good Bible examples of men who prayed at least three times a day. It doesn't have to be long. It just has to be sincere. And it should be spontaneous as well. And not so much rehearsed and memorized. Have you ever been to the hospital and seen some of these ministers who don't know how to pray? They don't know God. They only know about Him. And when it's time to leave the bedside, they say, I want to have a word of prayer. And they get out their prayer book and they turn to whether it's, depending on what the sickness is. And they say, well, have a word of prayer. And he reads the prayer. Now, there's something mighty, mighty wrong about that. Number one, you can't impress God. I don't care if you speak in 40 languages. God just wants to know what's on your heart. Just tell Him what's on your heart. What's prayer? That's just talking to God. That shouldn't be such a hard thing. That shouldn't be something that we dread. But I guarantee you, if we quit praying, the fire will go out. The power will go out, and we'll become cold and critical and mechanical and weak. That's what will happen. Sure as the world, if we quit praying. The Bible tells us that we should be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to make our request known unto God. What an unusual way to live, praying about everything and worrying about nothing. We've got that thing reversed, don't we? While we worry about everything and pray about nothing. That's the way the world does, but we ought to just commit it to God and leave it in His hands. If He's big enough to save you, He's big enough to take care of you. Amen. And worry is not only faithless, it's useless. When it's all said and done, it didn't help a bit. It just wasted your time. And pulled tomorrow's cloud in front of today's sunshine. So just trust God and go on. Amen. We got to keep the drafts open. Keep the lines open. And you know that in the Bible, the air, especially wind, represents the Spirit of God. In fact, wind and spirit are the very same words. So we've got to keep our lives open to the wind of the wind. The wind of the Holy Spirit. For He not only indwells us, but He teaches us. He is our unction, our strength, our equipper, and our enabler and comforter. Keep your life open to the influence and direction of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us, yield to Him, obey Him, be filled and controlled by the indwelling Spirit of God. Aren't you glad you don't have to live the Christian life in your own strength? That would be mighty hard, wouldn't it? That'd be impossible, actually. Keep your life open to the wind of the Holy Ghost. But the Bible tells us many times, instead of doing that, we do the opposite of that. We grieve Him and we quench Him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, by our sinful living, we put out the fire by our evil speaking and our bitterness and anger and pride. Whatever the sin is, it will put out the fire. It'll quench it. It'll quench His work in us. The Spirit of God should be unhindered and ungrieved, or the fire will go out. I was thinking this week of a man that I knew. I remember sitting and hearing him preach years ago and thinking, that is the best preacher I've ever heard. Powerful. Incredible. And yet today the fire has completely gone out and went out a long time ago. I don't know if he let down on his preaching or his praying or where he let the devil come in, but his whole life is a shambles, his family. I remember seeing him in a service. He didn't want to see nobody. He didn't want to talk to nobody. He hoped nobody would recognize him. And what a warning that was to me, just to think about what can happen when you let down your guard and you think, I've been saved long enough. I don't need God anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. I can figure this out. I can handle this on my own. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, we're all made out of the same thing. We all have this old nature we got to contend with all the time. We need all the praying we can get. We need all the help we can possibly get. Keep the drafts open. Number two, keep the ashes out. Let the ashes build up and they'll stifle that fire. You got to pay attention to the fire. That's what I'm trying to say. A fire won't watch itself. You got to watch it. Likewise, the Christian life can never be put on automatic pilot. You can never walk away from it. You can never just forget it. No, there must be constant maintenance and vigilance in your Christian life. Constant attention. You just don't expect the fire to burn without your effort. That's not going to happen, friend. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to pay attention to it. Nobody else can pay attention to your fire. That's your business. That's your responsibility. That's your life, your testimony. People can influence you, sure, pray for you. But in the final analysis, that's your job, friend, to take care of your own Christian life. Take that responsibility and keep the ashes out. It also means removing anything that would hinder. Confess your sins and forsake them. The Bible tells us that if we cover our sins, we will not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We deceive ourselves sometimes, don't we? Don't let those sins pile up. Keep a short account. Keep the slate clean. Stay right with God day by day, at least one time a day. At least once every single day of your life. Look up to heaven and say, Lord, is everything all right? And when He tells you to do something, make it right. He'll tell you when you're doing right and He'll tell you when you're doing wrong. And if the fire's going to burn, you're going to have to keep the ashes out and remove anything that might be hindering you. And it might not even be a sin. It might just be a weight that's slowing you down. I remember years ago, it was my responsibility to get the juice for communion. I'm giving you an example of a weight and not a sin. And I remember going in a store one day. And that's when I lived at home and wasn't married and didn't buy groceries. Now, I still can't buy groceries. I don't know where nothing is. But I'm not afraid to ask them where something is. But I'd go in the store and all I'd buy was grape juice. And they'd put it in a little brown paper bag. Some of you don't remember brown paper bags, but I'd come out of that store carrying a brown paper bag. And it dawned on me one day, the devil is such a big liar. He's going to tell somebody, you see Alan Fox coming out of that store with a brown paper bag? Why, he's just bought him some liquor in a store that didn't even sell liquor. But it don't matter. The devil's a liar anyway. So from then on, I said, yes, I want this juice, and I do not want a brown paper bag. I'll carry it like it is. You got to look at things not only the way you look at it, but how do other people look at it? Just keep the ashes out. That means not depending on past experiences or victories also. Thank God for what you've done in the past, for all that He's let you see and hear and do. But don't live in the past. Don't live on memories. Let the past be a signpost, but not a hitching post. Because God wants you to forget the past and reach forth unto those things which are before. Always gaining and growing and learning. There are a lot of people, you know, it's sad, but they're just all living in the past. That's like facing backwards. Facing backwards. You don't want to drive that way. You don't want to walk that way. You don't want to live that way. face forward. Amen? Don't live in the bygone days. Thank God for the bygone days. But what about today? I'm glad for what you did for God 20 years ago. But let me ask you a question. What about now? God hadn't changed. If He blessed you then and used you then, He can bless you now and use you now. You don't have to live on the memories. God can surely set you on fire again. So keep the drafts open and keep the ashes out. And thirdly and finally, a fire requires that you keep adding some type of fuel. And you got to keep piling on the fuel or the wood or whatever you're using. That's true in your Christian life. You got to keep piling on knowledge, wisdom, and truth from the Word of God, of course, because Jesus said, "Sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Which means we got to read the Word of God and study it and memorize it and meditate upon it and obey it on a day in and day out and a week in and week out basis. You got to keep piling on the fuel. You know, you got to get to where you can examine your own self spiritually. You know what you do when you go to the doctor? He examines you and he makes a determination. He prescribes something for you. Well, you've got to be able to do that. There's no such thing really as spiritual doctors. You've got to get alone with you and your Bible and the Lord and say, "Lord, how am I spiritually? Lord, do I need to double up on my Bible reading? Do I need to pray more? Lord, where am I failing to pile on the truth that I need in my life?" I'm just saying you need to be able to examine your own Christian life. I mean, you know, don't you, when you're a little bit backslid? Don't you know when you're a little bit on the critical side, when nothing pleases you? You know when you feel closer to God and you want to, and you pray more and you testify more? Sure, I think a Christian can examine, if he's honest, his own life. We need to be able to do that. So the fire will go out if you start facing backwards, if you fail to pile on knowledge, wisdom, and truth. The Word of God will do for your soul what fuel does for a fire. But you know what we do? We try everything else, don't we? We just almost try everything else first. Reminds me of these two fellows who were Christians. They hadn't been saved long, and the one said to the other, "How are you getting along in your Christian life?" And he said, the other one said, "Not so well. It seems like every time the devil tempts me, I fall." And the first one said, "Well, what do you do when you're tempted?" He said, "Well, I sing the devil a song." And he said, "Well, you know, the Bible don't say much about that. Why don't you try a Bible verse next time he comes around?" Because that's what Jesus did. And guess what? It worked. "It is written" is the devil's Waterloo. And the devil's not a bit impressed by your intellect, by your psychiatry or your psychology. You can even sing to him, but he won't leave. But he has to leave when you quote the Word of God. And the appropriate scripture too, not just anything. I want to tell you something. You're not going to make it in your Christian life unless you have a good working relationship with your Bible. Somewhere along the line, the temptation is going to be greater than you are. That's right. Folks, to keep the fire burning, we're going to have to keep adding on the Word of God. And as Israel said, if we don't have a hunger and a thirst, folks, there's something wrong with, if you can go from day to day to day to day and no spiritual appetite, take it or leave it, that means you're sick. No appetite is a sure sign of ill health, physically and spiritually. You need the Word of God every day. Isn't it wonderful that though your body may grow weaker as you get older, your soul never has to grow weaker? Do you know that? The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And we may have some wrinkles and our steps may be a little bit slower. We may not be able to remember as well as we used to. But I'm glad, spiritually speaking, we can keep getting stronger and wiser all the time. There never has to be any failure, any weakening, any slackness in our spiritual lives. I'm saying the older you get in your Christian life, the stronger you ought to be. The stronger you ought to be. There's no excuse for going backwards. No excuse. I heard a man one time stand up and say, "Well, I've learned all I want to learn, and I really don't want to care to learn anything else." I heard him say that. I thought, wow, if I was that silly, I wouldn't stand up and publicize that to the world. But he stood up and said that. I guess, but a lot of people don't say that, but it's in their heart. They might as well say it. It's the way they think. You need to master this book. You need to get in this book, because sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Is the fire burning in your life? Does everybody that know you know you're saved? Do you know every time you pray, you're adding fuel to the fire? Every time you seek God afresh, that's adding fuel to the fire. Every time you go to church, that's adding fuel to the fire. Every time you read the Word of God, that's adding fuel to the fire. If God wrote an editorial and put it in the Tazewell Times, you'd read it, wouldn't you? Well, He gave you a book right here. It is almost 1,200 chapters. Read it. We need fingerprints on this book more than we need footprints on the moon. Amen. Every time you testify and stand up and brag on the Lord, that's adding fuel to the fire. And every time you witness and tell somebody how to be saved, that's adding fuel to the fire. Do your best. I repeat, keep the drafts open. Keep the ashes out. And keep the fuel piled high. It's your fire and it's your life. It's your testimony, your family, your personal responsibility to keep it burning brightly. You say, what does God say about all this? He said that He wanted you to be hot. That's what He said. Revelation chapter 3. The church was lukewarm, but the Lord said, I'd rather you be hot. He said, in fact, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. But what He really wants you to be is on fire for Him. Sold out 24/7. Always on duty Christian. Did you know it's a miserable life trying to live any other way? Trying to think, well, am I going to live for the Lord today or not? Why don't you have done with all that? If Jesus Christ loved you and died for you and saved you, then you owe Him your life, your love, your allegiance and loyalty, all you have and all you are. Give that a try. That half-hearted, careless, in-and-out attitude. Friend, that's no way to live. You're not helping anybody else and not even helping yourself. Keep the fire burning. I want you to hear these words before we sing. This is an old poem that I read over and over. It's about meeting the Master face to face. I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you the Christian life is easy and that everybody's going to love you and pat you on the back and that they're going to encourage you. And that it's just so easy. It's just as easy as falling off a log. But that's not the truth. I've been saved 39 years. And let me tell you that I have seen it get harder and harder all these years. And many people fall by the wayside that I never thought would fall by the wayside. It's going to take some determination and purpose in your soul. You are not going to succeed accidentally. And there's no way. And you leave out prayer and church and the Word of God, and you'll be nothing but a football for the devil to kick around anytime he wants to. Listen to these words. I'd followed life's way with an easy tread. Had followed where comforts and pleasures led until one day in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul, I'd entered to win in life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I met Him and knew Him and blushed to see that His eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at His feet that day while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, naught else did I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, Oh, make me meet to follow the steps of Thy wounded feet. My thought is now for the souls of men. I've lost my life to find it again. Ever since one day in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. When was the last time you met Him face to face? When was the last time it was just you and Him, and He spoke to you and you spoke to Him? When was the last time? I'm telling you that your Christian life will grow cold if you let it, if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't pile on some fuel, judge your sins, keep the prayer lines open. The tendency of anything, the relationship between a husband and wife, the relationship between parents and children, friend to friend, you name it. There's no relationship in this world but that it requires diligence, nurturing, time, and attention. And let me tell you, you're just as close to God as you want to be, and you're going to get out of your Christian life what you put into it. And God said He'd draw nigh to you, but He said it's your move first. Draw nigh to God, and then He'll draw nigh unto you. Take heed to your fire this morning. Take heed to your fire. God said, I want my people to be a flame of fire. How's your fire burning today? Stand with me, please.